Again, running our mouth, if that running of the mouth was to him, we'd be in a lot better shape. Could you say amen right there?
Amen.
Or at least oh me, one of the two. I want you to take your Bibles tonight and turn with me, turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 1, right before the book of, Joshua? Right before the book of Joshua. And then hold your place in Deuteronomy chapter number 1. Deuteronomy chapter number 1, then go to Romans chapter number 14. Deuteronomy chapter number 1, Romans chapter number 14. Before we even get to the scripture reading tonight, I'm going to ask you for a favor. I want to ask you tonight to listen with an open heart and with an open mind. Sometimes we can't allow God to speak to us because we have our mind set already. Have you ever run into a situation with a teenager who thought they knew everything, therefore you could tell them nothing? Are you listening to me tonight? Now, I don't know about you, but I've not come to the place where I know everything. Could not even start to pretend that I know it all. Matter of fact, the farther along down this road I get in this thing we call the Christian life, I realize just how little I do know. Let me go a step further. I ask you, open mind, open heart. I also realize as I get further along in this thing or this walk we call the Christian life, how very small and insignificant I am. Did you understand those two statements? You say, what are you saying about me? I didn't say you, I said me. I realize the further I get along how little I actually know. And I realize how little I actually am. Amen. I want you to listen carefully tonight and dare not point a finger and say this sermon is for so-and-so. Brother Eddie's after this or Brother Eddie's after that. No, I'm after the will of God tonight. Amen. As I preach this sermon tonight, there will be one pointing forward, but there's three coming right straight back to me. I think the greatest preaching is often when the preacher is preaching to himself. Amen? So if this ain't for you tonight, just, I miss church Sunday, so let me preach to me. Amen? I appreciate Brother Charles and Brother Todd and heard what a great job they did on Sunday. Romans chapter number 14, are y'all there? Three verses of Scripture in Romans chapter 14. Some people don't believe in writing in their Bible, but I do. I like to underscore and highlight, and I had a hard time keeping up with highlighters, so now I just underline. But I want you to look at verse number 4 of Romans chapter number 14. Paul is dealing with this subject of isms and schisms and divisions and those kind of things, envying and strife. And he said in verse number 4, he said, "Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand." I don't want to make too much comment right there. But Paul is saying, who do you think you are? Who died and made you king that you can judge another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, and yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. Verse number 7, some key verses if we could get a hold of them tonight. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Did you get that? For none of us, I'm going to come back to that verse in just a minute. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Jump down to verse number 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? Now watch this. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you tonight and in Jesus' name, God, I pray that, God, you would give us the sense, the wherewithal, and the vernacular to speak to the hearts of our people tonight. God, I don't know where to begin. I just know the burden in my heart. Lord, I pray you would help me to be a blessing. God, this is not meant to be a blistering, but God, it's meant to help. And I pray that, Father, you would make it come out just that way. Lord God, that it would be a healing message and one that would help, a restoring message and not one to tear down. Lord God, the preacher was gone this weekend. And Lord, it seems like the devil's trying to stick his nose in sideways everywhere he can where it does not belong. And God, I pray that you would help us in the power of the Holy Spirit to run that sucker tonight right back through the door through which he came, God. Father, I pray you get honor and glory tonight. Help me, God, I beg you. And we'll thank you for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Paul is dealing with this thing of the brethren judging one another. Now, I don't know. I've been around a little while, and that is a problem. I don't care where you go. We judge one another simply because it makes us feel better about ourselves. Can I get a witness right there? I'm not going to beat a dead horse. I've said that 10 million times over the course of this ministry, at least 10 million times. We judge one another, or we pass judgment on one another, because it makes us feel better about ourselves. I want to back up to verse number 7 before we go to Deuteronomy tonight. And I want to read this one verse of Scripture, and then I'll try to give you the thought tonight. The Bible said in verse number 7, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." And I want you to notice the wording, "None of us liveth to himself." Statement. Brother and sister, this thing is bigger than you and I. Let me say that one more time. This thing, what thing, preacher? Happy Valley Baptist Church and everything that entails is bigger than you and I. All the way down to the little nursing home ministry on Thursday night. That's bigger than you and I. You know what that's doing? That's stepping outside of our natural realm, and that's stepping into the supernatural realm. That's stepping into a place where God is working. And when you get into a place where God is at work and His Spirit is moving and hearts are being ministered to and lives are being changed, Bubba and sister, that's bigger than you and I ever thought about being. If we don't get nothing tonight, if you get mad at me right now and scratch the whole entire rest of the sermon tonight, get this thought. This thing's bigger than me and you. We're going to go over to Deuteronomy in chapter number 1 in just a few minutes, and we'll find because of strife, because of murmurings, because of envying, there was trouble in the camp. I don't know what kind of trouble we could face that's bigger than the cause of Christ. I don't know what kind of bitterness or envying or jealousy or strife or a hurt feeling. I don't know what could get in the way. What could be bigger than the cause of Christ? Amen. Here's what I want to say to you tonight. Whatever it takes. Whatever, I said whatever it takes. We have got to be on the same page. No matter what, we have got to be going in the same direction. No matter what, we have got to have the same heart, the same love, and the same mind. How good and how pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. Do you know what causes big problems in a church? Little ones. little ones. It ain't never the big problems that tear up a church. It is never big problems that even tear up a marriage or a relationship. The Bible said it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's those little insignificant things, hey, that don't really amount to a hill of beans, but the devil will magnify those things in our eyes and he will make molehills appear to be mountains. It's important we stay on the same page. Why, preacher? Let me just read you a list tonight. This is nothing but a roll call. Amy Garrett, Charity Cassidy Lynn, Colton Woosley, Jada Lett, Brittany, Amber Brunson, Jonathan Brunson, Caitlin Brunson, Shanika Pritchett, Keandra Pritchett, Alahalia, I guess, Dix, Keon, Chris, Evan Kerr, Taylor Kerr, C.J. Freeman, Nathan Hall, Brian Bowe, Rachel Bowe, Haley Bowe, Diamond, Brianna, Brittany, Karen, Annis, A.J., B.J. Patterson, Marquez Houston, Shemiah Clark, Cynthia Miranda, Pearl Hernandez, Priscilla Reese, Desiree Meandra, Amanda, Nene Marchman, Bailey, Renee Butcher, Rebecca Butcher, Sephora Butcher, Shay Shay, Caitlin, Josh, Caitlin, Taylor, Hunter. Are you listening to me tonight? Those are just a few names that depend on you and I having unity among the brethren. Those are just a few children who without otherwise, we are their connection to the gospel. What are you saying? I'm saying this thing is bigger than you. This thing is bigger than me. There is a greater cause than my agenda. There is a greater cause than my popularity. There is a greater cause than my opinion. The greatest day in your Christian life is when you get to the place where your opinion no longer matters. That all that matters is what thus saith the Lord, and that the will of God is carried out in the way of God. Amen. Can I read you some more? I could stay here half the night reading you names. B.J. Patterson. I done read that, didn't I? Nikki, Cody, Tate, Kristen, Allie, D. John. I can't make out half of these. Y'all need to straighten up on your writing. Maya, Nisha, Parrish, Sabarma or something. Jasmine, Destiny. Looks like tomato, but I think it's Tamasha, something like that. Tomorrow. Caitlin, tomorrow. No, tonight, bless God. Caitlin, Junior, Caleb, Jasmine, Winnis, Alicia, Alex, Bria, Alex, and so on and so forth, and Denise, and Ashley, and Christian, and Christopher, and Brittany, Nick, I made that one out. What are you saying? I'm saying it's bigger than me and you. I'm saying it's bigger than me and you. You want to look a little bus kid or a little bus child, a little boy, a little girl, 7, 8, 9 years old and say the bus couldn't come get you because we can't get along with each other? And come in here and talk about how you love God and you don't even love one another? Shame on us. Let me say it again. It's bigger than you. It's more important than you. And I'm putting myself in the same place. I'm preaching to all of us tonight. It's bigger than me. God can do this, Brother Robbie, without me. Do you understand that? God can do this without the flashy tie and without the flashy suit. God can do this without all our brilliant programs and all our great ideas. We don't have to serve God. Bless God, we get to serve God. Some of us before the message is even through, or to get somebody by the hand and say, let's get in the altar. It's always seemed funny to me. You say, preacher, you know stuff that's been going on. That's the only reason you're preaching is. Well, duh! If I don't preach to our needs, fire me and get somebody that will. If you got a preacher that ain't got backbone enough to address situations, find you one that will say him. Amen. Say, preacher's mad. No, I'm not mad. I'm killed. This thing's bigger than us. This thing's bigger than us. What a sad day. He said in Romans chapter number 14 that we all, Brother Freddie, that means you, that means Brother Charles, that means every last living one of us, we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. What a sad day that would be to look a little bus kid in the eyeball and say, I'm sorry you're on your way to hell, but I just got mad and couldn't get over it. I'm saying it's bigger than us. Are you with me tonight? Whoo! Danielle Williams, Jacob Williams. I done read this one too, I think. Deanna, Tori, Shamar, Amani. That's close, ain't it? Marcus, India, Ajana, Sky, Katie, Jordan, Deshaun, Deandra, Jasmine, Levi Ball, Cody Ball, Julie Smith, Samantha Smith, Grace. Boy, that's what we need. Samantha, Gary, Kedrick, Elijah, Shaquish. Yeah, Jackie, Damon Stamper, Austin Stamper, Sarah Stamper, Caitlin, Alexis, Brandon, Bailey, Brittany. Hey, I think we owe that list of children an apology. Do you understand the importance of unity? I don't know how many names I just read. I know Sister Donna had over 50 on the way home on her bus Sunday. Do you realize that every one of these names depend on us not only to be right with God, but to be right with each other? Do you understand? Do you understand the importance of it? Sometimes you know what that may mean? I mean, from the preacher, over 16 years, don't you think I've ever had to swallow real high, real hard, get a good drink of water and push that pride down to the bottom somewhere, bow my head and say, God, I'm sorry. I let my flesh get in the way. I let my spirit get in the way. God, don't let me be a hindrance to what you're trying to do. Say, preacher, you've been out of town. You shouldn't come home like this. We shouldn't be like this.
Yes, sir.
You say, well, I don't know if nothing's going on. Well, don't worry about it. When trouble comes down your road, you just remember this message. Amen. When somebody tries to call, if you read your proverb today in Proverbs chapter number 6, you find out what it means to sow discord among the brethren. You say, what does it mean? God don't like it. And His work is hindered. And His gospel is hindered. And His spirit is grieved. My heart's desire tonight is that you and I walk out of this building together in one accord. In peace and in fellowship with one another. Why? Because it's bigger than us. It's bigger than us. It's as big as the fact that the entire city of Villarica will be in our parking lot in September. That's no accident. How are we going to reach them? How are we going to tell them about the love of God with anger and bitterness in our heart? Y'all okay tonight? I hope you're thinking. I hope you've got that open heart. And I hope you've got that open mind. Deuteronomy chapter number 1. Deuteronomy chapter number 1. I want you to listen to one of the greatest men of God who ever lived. God looked to and fro for somebody to lead His children out of bondage. He picked this man. And I don't know about you, but to me that speaks volumes. Would you agree? By His hand we have the first parts of our King James Bible. I want you to listen to his speech here. How, verse number 12, how can I myself alone bear your cumbrance and your burden and your, say the word with me, strife. Moses, the great leader, the great man of God, is burdened and cumbered down to the point of wanting to throw in the towel. Why? Because of the strife. Here's what he said. I can handle Pharaoh. I can handle the devil's crowd. I expect no more than that out of them. When it comes to Satan, I expect nothing but opposition. But with this crowd, I can't handle all this by myself. It's been said by far greater men than I, one man can only pastor so many people. One man can only pastor so many people. Some people have the idea or the mentality that once a church gets so big, it should split and go on and just keep little small cell groups. No, that's terrorism. I'm not against small churches. I'm for them. I preach in them all across the country. But sometimes God plants a church and God grows that church. That church hits a ceiling. God develops some leadership and that church grows some more, and He develops more leadership and that church grows some more. Sometimes that's God's will for a church. It's not God's will for us to go down. It's God's will for us to go up. And Moses said, how can I by myself, how can I bear all this? The answer's simple. Moses, you can't. Moses, you can't. Brother Eddie, why don't you do this anymore? Why don't you go there anymore? Why don't you do that? I can't bear it all. So God has a solution. I was so amazed several years ago. We were in San Diego, California. I think it was the first time we took Brother Eric Knight out there to the leadership conference. We were sitting in one of the morning services. And Brother Eric's just sitting there kind of musing among himself while the preacher's preaching, and he's looking at his Bible and he said, wow. Where's Brother Greg? There he is. Oh, Eric said, wow. I leaned over. I said, what you wowing about? He said, I just realized something. The entire principle behind military leadership comes out of this book right here. It blew his mind. He said the entire principle behind the leadership of the United States Armed Forces come out of the Bible. Could it be God has a pretty good plan for leadership? Could it be that when it comes to leading His people, God may just know what He's talking about? Amen. Moses got a dilemma. Verse 13, here's the answer. He said, take you wise men and understanding, and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. And ye answered me, and said, the thing which thou hast spoken is good for us to do. So I took the chief of your tribes, wise men, and known, and made them heads over you. Now watch this. Captains over hundreds, or thousands. Captains over hundreds. Captains over fifties. And captains over tens. And officers among your tribes. And I charged your judges at that time, saying, hear ye the causes between your brethren, and judge righteously between every man and his brother and the stranger that is with him. Moses had so big a load. Bear in mind his load, my load, is nowhere near what the load of Moses was. I'm dealing with hundreds. Moses is dealing with thousands. Moses gets burdened and overloaded, and the Lord said, hey, I want you to set up some judges. In other words, I want you to develop some leadership. I want you to set up some men according to their ability. Some men have the ability to lead thousands. I doubt seriously there's many here who fit that bill. I used to lay in the bed and pray, God, please give me a big church. Give me a big church. God said, whoop, there it is. What you gonna do with it? Sometimes we get in just a little bit over our head. But we're so full of pride, we're saying, wait a minute, I don't want to lead hundreds. I want to lead thousands. I would rather effectively lead hundreds than destroy thousands. You okay? Then he brought it on down. He said, I'm going to let some of you judge or be in charge over thousands. I'm going to let some of you be in charge over hundreds. Then he brought that thing down again. And he said, I'm going to let some of you be in charge over 50s. Didn't stop there, did he? I think we're getting down to my category. I'm going to give some of you charge over tens. Most of us, in all honesty, we have no more spiritual leadership ability to go beyond that bottom rung. Is that too harsh a statement? You say, well, bless God, I used to run a construction job and had 30 men. I did too. Ain't nothing spiritual about that construction job. That construction job may have been the work of ADE contractors who I did plumbing on their job many times. It may have been the work of so-and-so or this company or that company. But brother and sister, this work is the work of God who sits in heaven. This work is not temporal. This work is everlasting. This work will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. This work will either shine or it will burn. Do you understand that? Sometimes I'm afraid we miss the sincerity and the realness of what we're doing. Today, I tried to be the spiritual leader. As I stood over the bed of a man, out of the will of God, his body broken. I thought I was going in there to really help him out. I walked in the door and both his arms went straight up in the air, all crooked and mangled. Tears run down his face. He said, I love you. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than me. I sat down on the end of a sofa today at the feet of my dying uncle. And I rubbed his leg till he woke up and saw me. And he said, I love you. And God said, this is bigger than you. This ain't about your title. This ain't about your power. This ain't about your authority. This is about me and my honor and my glory and my kingdom. So you better get with the program and realize it's bigger than you. It's bigger than you. While I was in Delaware, I may never get to the message. While I was in Delaware this weekend,
I had a text message. It said, please call me Chad Roscoe. Y'all know Chad. He's in Rochester, New York. He married one of our girls, Sister Stephanie Speck. I preach for his dad twice a year, once in September and then in February for the big youth meeting every year. Brother Hal Roscoe, he's been here. He's been in our church. He loves God. I called Chad. I said, what's going on, buddy? He could barely talk. He said, Brother Eddie, they just cut my mother open. They thought she had a blockage in her intestine, which she did. But while they were in there, they found a mass. He said, Brother Eddie, my mother is the godliest woman I've ever known. He said, it's cancer. They're going to have to do chemotherapy. She's going to have to go through the same thing that Ashley went through. And God said, son, this thing is bigger than you. I sat on the platform Saturday night, Friday night, waiting to preach. The singing started. Old brother blind Jesse Craigle sat down on the piano and began to wear it out, and they began to sing. God began to move. Boys and girls begin to come to the altar. Listen to me carefully. I didn't say, wait a minute, I ain't had my turn yet. No. Y'all can't come down here and get help now. I ain't said nothing. Two little old boys got saved. Right there at my feet, sitting on that platform. Right there at my feet, I looked over and slapped Samson. I said, y'all wasted money on a good plane ticket. God didn't need me. This thing's bigger than me. God can do it without me. Hey, God don't need me for the Holy Ghost to move, and He don't need me to keep people out of hell. When are you going to get a grip? It's bigger. It's bigger. It's bigger. Than you and I ever thought about being. Any kind of ministry. Any kind of corporation, business, club, branch of military service must have organized leadership. And that is exactly what God set up in His Word. Amen. Take your Bible and go to Ephesians chapter number 5. I'm going to show you where we get in trouble tonight. If you'll stay with me just a few minutes, I'll have you out of here. Kids, I'm sorry. I know y'all are ready to go and play, do your games and your songs tonight, but Mom and Daddy needs this, okay? Preacher needs this. What happens is God has given every one of us a certain area in which we are to judge or to rule over. If judge is too harsh a word, to rule over or to be in charge. Are you with me? Our trouble comes when we step outside our realm or our area of judgment. In other words, our trouble comes when we put our Pharisaical nose in somebody else's area of judgment. Well, bless God, they ain't doing right. Well, ain't none of your business. Are we all right? Whose Sunday school class is right here behind me? Legina's. Where's she at? Laid out, backslid, she's fired. Right down the hallway here, Brother Charles. Well, no, I ain't going to use him. Right down the hallway here, my mother. I'll use my mother. She laid out too. My mother has a Sunday school class right down the hall. Packed, jam-packed full of kids. My opinion, and it may be biased, but she's one of the best. She got her stuff. She just ain't been doing it but 40 years. She ought to be good at it. You know what she's in charge of on Sunday morning? Listen to me. You know what she's in charge of?
that one jam-packed room full of girls. 4.5, 5 inches away, there's another room full of girls who are none of my mother's business. Are you okay? When my mother steps out of her little 12 by 12 area of judgment or rule and steps next door into Legina's, she's out of place. She's out of line. She's in an area where she has no business. Unless Legina knocks on her door and says, "Miss Sandra, your years of wisdom, could you help me?" Amen. Then she's welcomed in. Are we okay tonight? In our parking lot tonight are 4 or 5 buses. They're sitting about this far apart. One of those buses is under the leadership of Donna and Clint Massey. Is that right? One of those buses is under the leadership of Joe Kelly. Is that right? One of those buses is under the leadership of Karen, Terry and Stacy Williams. One of those buses is under the leadership of Linda Groves. Listen to me carefully. That is their area of judgment. Are you with me? Let me say it again. That is their area of judgment. What does that word judgment mean? It doesn't mean to pass judgment. It means to make decisions. If I didn't think he could make a decision, I don't need him doing the job. But when he steps off of what route? Villarica route, and steps on the temple, he's out of line. We okay? He's out of line. Why? Because he has walked out of his area of judgment. When I asked him to be the captain of that bus, it was that bus and that bus alone. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying everybody that walks through those doors is his responsibility.
Yes, sir.
Had a problem on one of our buses. I have a note to call a parent. An upset, mad mother. Who did I go to? I went straight to Donna Massey and I said, "Who is this? What is this?" Why? Because they are responsible for every child who walks through the door of that bus. That is their area of judgment. Are we okay? Where we get in trouble is when we step out of our box. When we step out of our area. Now here's the problem some of you have. My box ain't big enough. It's probably bigger than you can really effectively handle. We okay? Why ask for a bigger box when the one you've got is not functioning properly? We need to be careful. Let me give you some areas of judgment tonight. And I'm going to shut my mouth and give you an opportunity to think about this. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 22. Now ladies, y'all just hold on. I'm on your side and I love you. Ephesians 5 and 22. The Bible said, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Wow. Now, either you love God and believe His book or you don't. One of the two. But that's what He said. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, number one, the husband is to judge the household. Are you with me? I said the husband is to judge the household. You know who's the judge at my house? No. I am. That is not my, "Bless God, I'm the boss around here." No, that is an awesome responsibility. But do you know what? What goes on in the man's house ain't none of my business. If I come over here and tell Sheila, well, I just don't approve of the way you're dressed tonight. I stepped out of my area. Why? That's my area.
Yes. Amen.
That's his area. God bless you, my brother.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad God didn't make me the judge of Barbara Baker. Are you with me? And here's what we have in churches. People trying to get in other people's area where they have no business. You need to set up some spiritual no trespassing signs and say, hey, butt out my stuff. But we need to make sure we are judging our area. In other words, if I get wind or hear that my wife is sowing discord among the ladies of the church, gossiping, running her mouth, I have a responsibility to say, darling, we need to work on this. We all right? Not, bless God, woman, you better line up. Buddy, you want to live alone? You want to fix your own lunch, wash your own clothes, start that garbage.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You're a team, brother. You have a responsibility to lead her in the right direction. Some of you need to get a grip on your area of judgment. Your God-given area of judgment. I feel lead balloons falling all over the place. Most women who are right with God have no problem whatsoever submitting to a husband who's right with God. You know what I said? It's not a power struggle. It's a place of honor and respect. The husband is to judge the household. His household and his household alone. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1. Children, obey, what's that next word? Your parents in the Lord. Why? For this is right. These babies are quoting it down here. Good job. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now let me make a statement before I hit this second point. All our children should be respectful to all of us. Micaiah should be respectful to Brother Robbie, to Brother Joe, to Brother Tom, to Brother David on Sunday mornings when he says, don't run in the hall, don't run in the hall. Slow down, slow down. You say, where's he get off doing that? I told him to.
Yeah.
He ain't got enough sense to do nothing else. That hallway is his area of judgment, amen. But when it comes to raising Micaiah,
yeah, come on,
and Timothy and Jeremiah and Zechariah, listen to me carefully. That falls solely right here. Are you understanding? Why? That's their area of judgment. They don't need your 2 cents worth.
I don't see why they had so many kids.
They wanted to. How stupid can you be?
Well, I wouldn't have that many kids this day and time.
Don't! Simply this, it's none of your business. If they have 10 more, it's none of your business. If they start a ball team, it's none of your business. And I'm using them tonight because I know I can. Here's what I'm saying. If Brother Freddie comes to me, and he has, and says, "Preacher, I need some input, I need some advice, I need some help, let me bounce this off of you." Okay, you asked for it. But you name me one time I've ever stuck it in there when you didn't ask for it. Why? It's not my place. You see that young'un sitting right there? I got enough. I mean, that's my baby. She's fixing to make some of the biggest decisions of her life. She's about to put on a cap and gown and walk down this aisle and get her diploma and start off making her own life in her own way. She needs me right now. I ain't got time to stick my nose in their business. And you ain't got time running your nose in somebody else's either. You will never help her by sticking your finger in her face telling her how to raise her kids.
Amen.
Stay with me on this one. We may hit some turbulence here. Buckle up. You especially won't help her when she's nowhere to be seen and you're in the nursery watching her children and you're telling everybody else in that nursery how she ought to be raising them.
Amen.
Shame on you. Shame on you. That's wicked.
Yeah.
Mean. Low down. Sorry. It's in no way helpful. Not only have you hurt her, you've hurt every young lady in that nursery who looks up to her.
Amen. That's right.
What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying repent. You sit in that nursery and gossip and run your mouth. You're running your mouth about things that are not your business. If you go to change a diaper and a kid's got a bad rash, don't run your mouth. I'm talking from experience here. I've seen some of you ladies in your church run your mouth all over this church because a kid got a rash. How many of you women ever raised a baby that never got a rash?
Yeah.
You raised one that never got a rash? Well, you're a doggone miracle worker. You write a book. I ain't never seen one didn't get a rash. Here's what I'm saying. Hush your mouth. If you've got to get a cotton picking staple gun and spoof and glow. You ever seen about a Jaws wire shut? I told David Naylor today, I said, "Man, you can't talk, so shut up." He was driving me crazy, me trying to figure out, I couldn't figure out what he was saying. I said, "Just hush." He looked at his buddy that was visiting with him. He said, he ain't changed a bit. What we're saying is not edifying, lifting up, building up, strengthening, then we need to shut it. Are we all right? Well, I don't approve of the way Brother Eddie's handling Katie. You're not going to answer for her. I am. And guess what? I've made mistakes. I'm probably no better a parent than you are. We all right? Now, as a pastor, it's my job to preach to your kid, but it ain't my job to raise them. It's your job. And it's your job to raise yours and nobody else's. Now, say with the youth trip. A kid that's not old enough to go without a parent, we've had this happen time and time again. The parent will ask another parent that's going, "Will you watch out for mine that's not old enough to go?" Do you know what you've done? You have given permission for them to enter into your area of judgment. And if that brat calls home and said, "Mama, they whooped my tail," good. You're in their charge.
Yep.
If you're out of line and they're not correcting you, I won't let them watch you no more. We okay? The husband is to judge what? Come on, the household and his alone. The parents are to judge in the home and theirs alone. God's given you a family and you're to thank Him for it every day. It's your job to judge in that area, but not somebody else's. Okay? Number three, Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, watch this, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart as unto Christ. Wow. That means the employer is to be the judge at work. I get so tired of hearing grown men come to me. Say, preacher, I want to quit my job. They cuss. Come on, you baby. They cuss everywhere. You got to stick your fingers in your ears to order at McDonald's. Are you listening? I don't care how much he cusses. If he signs your check, obey him. My ex-boss is retired now. I don't know what it is, but the last two public jobs I worked, I had a great relationship with the men who were in charge of me. At Stasco Mechanical, there was a man who wore his glasses down on the end of his nose, chewed on his tongue all the time. His name was P.D. Hendricks. He was a brilliant man. He was a shrewd man and a hard man, but I respected him. And he was a saved man. My boss on my job, where Brother Clint Massey works and Brother Mike Cato and several others, my boss was Melvin Crook. He was an ex-Lithia Springs High School football coach. Could have been the twin brother to Hoss Cartwright. Seriously. That's what I called him until I found out he didn't like it because he's as big as Hoss Cartwright too. You know what everybody did? We all usually met somewhere at one of the schools every day and would eat lunch. I don't know who's the boss now, but they probably still do the same thing. They'd sit around the table and run him in the ground. I found I very seldom had anything to say about him. He tried to treat this crew of men, grown men with families and children. He tried to treat us like boys on the football team. He did. He'd get mad in the meeting. He'd cuss us all out. But what nobody knew was after he showed himself in one of those meetings, I'd generally get called to his office. He'd sit there behind his desk and his lip would quiver and he'd say, I messed up, didn't I? I'd say, yeah, boss, you did. We had the sweetest fellowship. What are you saying, preacher? He was my boss. Yeah. He called me in on the carpet. I was pastoring a church, remodeling a house, and working that job all at the same time. He called me. I had a reputation for being 5 minutes late. Every day. Everybody else come to work at 7:30. I think it was 7:30. 7. I come to work at 7:05. Every day. He called me in his office one day and he said, White, sit down. I knew that wasn't good because usually he referred to me as preacher. But today it was White. And that old big lip started quivering and it wasn't because he was fixing to cry neither. Shuffled out time cards on the desk like it's a deck of cards. And he started counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And he just kept counting and counting and counting. I said, I get it. He said, no, you don't get it. I know you think it's just 5 minutes, boss. It's just 5 minutes. He said, you start adding these 5 minutes up. It's hour after hour after hour after hour. You have your behind here tomorrow at 5 till 7. Bless God, I'll just get mad and get me another job. No, I won't. He's my boss.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to do?
I'm going to do my dead level best to get here at 5:07.
Yes, sir.
And I made sure he saw me. You know what he said? Not a cotton picking thing.
Yeah.
Why? He shouldn't have to. That's my duty to begin with.
Amen.
We okay tonight?
Yes, sir.
Quit my job because they cuss. Grow up. They probably run around on their wives too. That don't mean you got to.
Amen.
But you do got to feed your family. I'm going to say one more thing right here. And I ask you, please open your hearts tonight and your minds. Don't get mad at your preacher. Don't use God for an excuse.
Amen.
Yeah, bless God, I ain't working there. They don't allow me to witness. You're not there to witness. Can I say that again? Some of y'all ain't swallowing that too well. You're not there to witness. Your testimony of being obedient and faithful and on time and giving a hard day's work for a day's pay, that testimony is more important than any gospel tract you'll ever hand them. They're not paying you to be a witness. They're paying you to lay carpet or drive a nail or drive a truck or whatever the case may be. Make a door. We all right tonight? I'm saying we need to stay in our areas of judgment. Amen. The employer is to judge at work. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 7. Last one and I'm done. Some of y'all are done already, I know. Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 7. I try not to stay no longer here than is necessary. Are you there? He said, remember them which have the, say the word, rule where? Over you. Who have spoken unto you the word of God. Who does that sound like? Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. I said the husband's to judge the household, the parents are to judge in the home, the employer's to judge at work, the pastor is to judge in the church. There was a time when I handled everything. But as the church began to grow, I had to. Brother Charles used to use this word with me an awful lot. And it skipped my mind. Thank you. Brother Charles and I would visit together. He'd say, Brother Eddie, you need to learn to delegate some of this stuff out. What was he saying? Deuteronomy chapter number 1.
Yeah.
You know what he's saying? Brother Eddie, you need to take some of this and put it over here and let somebody else judge that area for you.
Yeah. Amen.
Why? Go to the book of Acts. Don't turn there. But when they chose out the deacons, what was the reasoning? Choose you out 7 men. Honest. Good report. What were those 7 men for? To handle all this petty stuff.
Yeah.
The waiting of tables. The benevolence. The taking care of the hungry and the needy and the poor. Why? So we can give ourselves to prayer.
Yes, sir.
And to the ministering of the Word of God. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Now, what would you rather me do? Would you rather me walk in that pulpit Sunday morning and I can't wait? I got a message burning. I wanted to preach it tonight. I'll go ahead and give you a hint. Verizon says, can you hear me now? Would you rather that thing be ready and hot and prayed over with the power of God dripping off of it? Or would you rather me just hang around all week and wipe your nose and pat your back? Which is it? You bring your lost family member in here.
Set them down on a pew, and I ain't been able to pray, and I ain't been able to study, because all I'm doing is trying to patch up all the mess between every one of you. I've got to preach this book.
Amen.
It's that simple. I've got to preach this book. So what do I do? Some over 1,000. Some over hundreds. Are you with me? Some over 50s. And some over 10s. What does that translate to? Preacher, a chain of command. Are you with me? I don't care what ministry in this church you're involved in. If you come here, or you go there, before you've went anywhere else, you are out of line. Why? I'm going to put these two men in that group that's over thousands. We don't have thousands, but I'm just saying. These are our, I started to say my, but they're not my. They're our assistant pastors,
yes,
associates, whatever you want to call them. Why are they in that position? Because I fully, wholeheartedly trust both of them.
Yes.
Trust them to what? Handle it in my absence. Freddie Young takes so much heat off of me, I worry about him. What are you saying, preacher? What if I have a Sunday school problem? Randy Robertson.
That's right.
Ain't the sharpest knife in the drawer, but he's our knife. Amen? Now listen to me carefully. We had a man here who was a Sunday school guru. No reflection, no slam against Brother Latham. Don't you take this wrong. But he came here to help us establish a good Sunday school program. We got started. I said we got started. We only got started. We got a little foundation and he left. And Brother Randy said, I ain't got the foggiest idea what I'm doing. But I'll help. Thank God for a man like that. Thank God for a man who will take something that's just gotten started and he don't know how to finish it and say, preacher, I'll do the best I can with it. Don't you dare overstep him. If you teach Sunday school and you've got a need or you've got a problem, go to him. If he can't handle it, he will come right on up the line. Uh-huh. If you teach lesser than adults, guess where they're going? I messed up when I put you over children's ministries. You didn't know how big that was, did you? And when he can't handle it, he may go to one of them or he may come to me. Is it that way in the military, Brother Gray? When you got a problem, do you go straight to a colonel or a... No, you don't. You go to what they call upline? There you go. And if you go over him, are you in trouble?
Yeah, he ain't gonna like that.
That's what I thought. Are we on the same page here tonight?
Yes, sir.
Bus worker. I don't care if you like him or no. It ain't about whether or not you like him. You got a problem on your bus. Right there. His name's Robbie Mooney. And when you say, Brother Robbie, what about I do this? And he says, no, we're not going to do that. Shut up and go on. Well, bless God, what if he ain't right? Then he's God's problem. And you're in the clear because you have obeyed the authority over you. Are we all right? Junior church. His name is Greg Godfrey. He ain't been doing it but what, 13 years? going on 14 years. When it comes to that place, now look, Thomas sitting right back yonder. And that's my buddy. And I know he'll respect what I'm fixing to say. He's been out there several years himself. But he don't make decisions concerning that junior church that go above him.
Amen. Right.
That's the chain of command.
Amen.
Are we all right?
Amen.
That man sitting right back there, that's Mr. Patch Club right there.
Amen.
Somebody said, what do they do down there? I ain't got the foggiest idea. They make pentagrams and have seances for all I know. What are you saying, preacher? I trust him enough I ain't stuck my nose in it. God, y'all please don't come tell me they got a Ouija board. I know better. That's his area. Stay out of it. That little room back yonder with the barn and the puppets, that's Jerry and Irene. Don't cross her. She's German. She probably got a swastika tattooed on her arm. No, I'm kidding. No Nick's up there going, yeah. She'll whoop you. Don't you mess with her. Why? That's her area. But I just don't like what they're doing. I'll be the judge of that. Are we okay? Now, I'm done. Over the years, I have tried to pray and place people in different positions. Watch this carefully. There have been times when I realized I made a mistake. Not that they were bad people, but the place I put them wasn't suited to them. Are we okay? And we've moved around and tried to get people where they're best fitted. But I put them there. Right here. I put them there. You know what that means? They are to judge over the area which I put them in. If I have still got to handle every little thing, what good are you? I know that sounded cocky. Let me retract that. What need is there for the position? If I've got to constantly mediate and run and go between and put out a fire and put out a fire and put out a fire. I have the solution tonight. This thing's bigger than me and you. It's bigger than your temper. It's bigger than your attitude. It's bigger than your gossip. It's bigger than your rebellion.
Come on.
It's bigger than your jealousy.
Amen, brother.
You want me to read the list again? Well, what's the solution, preacher? Let's stay in our box. Little old CJ. He ain't here tonight. He ain't little old neither. Big old CJ. Him and his wife came to this church, got right with God, or drew their best to be right with God. She helped Sister Susie in her Sunday school class. You know what CJ does? He cleans this building. Calls me at least twice a week. He blessed my heart the other night. He called me concerning one of you. Nothing bad. He just saw a need in your life and his heart was just broken over it. I thought, my goodness. You know how many times he's told me how to run the music in this church? Never. Do you know how many times he's told me what the problem is with the bus minister? Never. You know how many times he's told me what the trouble is with the Sunday school? Not once. You know what he does? He cleans this church. What are you saying, preacher? That's his area. You leave your trash in the floor, let your kids throw candy paper all over the place, and he jumps that high, help yourself, brother. Why? That's your area.
You leave a mess in the bathroom. By the way, unless it's broken, on the sides of these toilets, there's a little silver thing about that long. And the doggonedest thing, if you push it down, whatever you left in there goes. Y'all didn't know that, did you? I'm not being fun, I'm being serious. Let's make sure we stay in our area. You know how easy it is to get out? Do you know how easy it is to have my little ministry over here and think everything's going so well over here? I've got time to look over there. When we had our full school running, Miss Godfrey will say amen right here. Every year, it was a battle. And it never was a battle till toward the end of the year. It seemed that every elementary teacher was more interested in what was going on across the hall or across the parking lot than they were in their own little area of judgment. Do you know how easy it is for the devil to distract us?
Amen.
Pick your bus out of there. Sunday morning. Let me ask you a question. You be dead flat honest with me. What's more important right here come Sunday morning? These 28 boys and girls, or who drives that bus?
That was a girl. Boys.
What's more important? You see, they get one, you get them all.
They're more important.
They're more important than what?
Yeah.
Thank you, brother. Than anything. Tonight, Brother Greg walked in the copier room. I called him today and asked him to make me copies of this. Because I knew he don't do nothing for a living. And I'm kidding. He walked in tonight. I said, Brother, I need a favor. He said, what's that? Now watch this. I said, I want you to keep the teens inside with me tonight. He didn't even ask why. He didn't say, I've been praying about this message all week long. He didn't say that. I said, Brother, is that okay with you? He said, you know it is, brother, whatever you say. Thank you, Brother Greg, for allowing me that. Authority in your life. You don't have to, but you
I
do.
Believe I do.
And I appreciate it. Yeah, the Bible says you do. Why can't we just do that? Why can't we just line up where we're supposed to line up? We try our best to allow these kids on this list room to be just that, kids. That's why the water balloon fights and the candy scrambles and that's why we do all those. Give them a chance to be a child. But listen, we're supposed to be the grown-ups. Listen to me carefully tonight. If you're pouting, you should be on the altar. And there's some pouting tonight. You say, preacher, does everything always suit you? Of course not. The more people we've got, the less it does. Why? Because that's more trouble and more problems and more. Somehow or another, God's allowed me to see the bigger picture. It's more important than my petty feelings. More important than whether or not I get my way.
You say, well, of course you get your way. You're the pastor. No, I don't. No, I don't. You ask these men. We sat down in a meeting together, and I said, well, let's do this, let's do that. Wait a minute, preacher. Well, you know, sometimes these guys will cause me to think, and I'll go, well, you're right, you know. If I always had my way, we'd probably be in a way bigger mess than what we're in. If I always had my way, there'd be two brand new MCI, what do they call them things, them big old tour buses. There'd be two of them things sitting out there. Brother Freddie done had to knock that wall out because I'm gung-ho and full of zeal, man. I just ain't got enough sense to control it. We don't always get our way, friend. That's life. And sometimes the authority that's over us may actually be wrong. But that's not our place. To straighten those out in authority over us. As a pastor in 16 years, I've made some foolish mistakes. I've shot my mouth off when I should have kept it shut. I've had to duck my head and stick out my hand and say, I apologize more than once. And by the way, those of you who are in leadership, repeat after me. Are you ready? I'm sorry. Wasn't that hard, was it? You better get used to it. Because if they're going to follow you, they got to know you're willing to say, I'm sorry when you make a mistake. Let's stand to our feet tonight.